I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From one ear to another, this is a Mags Creative production.
Like many of you listeners, I'm always glued to the telly when I'm a celeb is on. I was even lucky enough to be part of the woodwork back in the day for 5 series, so it's a real treat to speak to someone who's been on the inside and understands. Jordan North, what a legend. In the less glamorous version of I'm a Celeb in Wales last year, in the castle, Jordan stole the nation's hearts with his happy place mantra and ode to Burnley FC football ground, Turf Moor. It was great to chat with Jordan about his experience on the show and, of course, all things podcasts, including his own Help I Sexted My Boss with etiquette expert William Hansen. Jordan's choices include football feminism, The Chris Moyle Show and Radio Moments. Full of laughter. I really enjoyed this one and I hope you guys enjoy listening. Let's get Castaway with Jordan North. Jordan North, welcome to Castaway.
Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. You've got me at a good moment, actually. So at the time of recording, it's Friday. I've just finished my radio show. And like, this is usually when I'm in my best mood because I've had a pretty good show today, I think. So I'm like, I'm buzzing a bit. I'm like, yeah, it's Friday. You can have a drink in the next couple of hours.
I can't imagine you in a bad mood. The public will know you from I'm a Celebrity. And even when you're facing the worst situation, you still seem like the happiest, most optimistic person. I can't imagine a bad day, Jordan.
Yeah, do you know what? A few people say that to me, but then people closest to me are like, oh, you should see him in the morning. Or you should see him when he's hungry. He's a right bitch when he's not eating. And I'm like, great. Yeah, that's me.
It's good. So you've eaten now before this. So that's always very important.
Yeah, I've eaten. I've had a glass of milk as well because I'm still a 10-year-old boy at heart.
Hold on. The glass of milk thing, is that something that you do? Is that like a little ritual in Jordan North's daily regime?
Yeah, I pretty much have a glass of milk every day since I was a kid. Like, you seen when I in the castle, my final feast was Angel Delight and corned beef hash, which, by the way, I was told was probably one of the cheapest final feasts they've ever had in the history of this show.
Cheap dates, love that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I had something to eat before and then I had a couple of biscuits with a glass of milk.
You know, my little brother does that. He is in his 20s, but he loves his glass of milk as well. So yeah. Don't be ashamed. There are worse things that you could be consuming. So
good.
Fair play to you. We've got two professional talkers here on the show today. So we've lots to talk about. But I just, first of all, like this podcast is all about storytelling. And I'm going to talk about podcasts and your list of recommendations. But I want to kind of ask you, speaking of that glass of milk and those kid-like parts of your daily life, have you always loved stories? Did you kind of grow up in a house where you told stories or talked a lot?
Yeah, so I was one of 4 boys and there's always a lot of noise and sometimes you had to be the loudest to get heard. And I always remember we all used to talk and we all used to show off and we all used to try and get our mum and dad's attention. I remember doing impressions of our neighbours near us and stuff like that with mum and dad. And yeah, I've always loved stories and storytelling. I've always been a big reader as well, believe it or not. So when all my brothers were like playing Xbox and PlayStation, I'd be in the corner reading like some Roald Dahl book or those Lemony Snicket ones or Harry Potter. So yeah, I've always loved stories, to be fair.
And, you know, you grew up in a house where like all these boys and you kind of had to be the loudest. Were you the loudest in the house?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. And I suppose I'm quite different to my other 3 brothers. Mm-hmm. And we've all got the same group of friends. So like my best friends are friends with them. And they all say to me, I don't know how you're on the radio because you are not the funniest. And
don't you just love friends that keep you grounded? Yeah,
don't you? They was like, you are not the funniest and you're certainly not the best out of them all. I'm like, yep, I'll take that.
It's funny because I remember getting that. I know you're in Radio 1, really cool station. I remember when I started out in MTV and like, Jordan, I was such a nerd in school. Like, and I was really quiet. And I remember my friends going, How the hell did you end up doing that?
Same, same. That's the thing. Everyone thinks when you're on MTV and you're on Radio 1 that you must have been a really cool kid. And I'm not. There used to be a lad in my year I used to really look up to, and he used to listen to like Red Hot Chili Peppers and all these new bands that were coming out at the time. And he was like proper into it. And I just used to be like obsessed with Peter Kay and tape him on the telly when he was on Jonathan Ross or something like
that. He's cool now, to be fair. I used to go and see Bewitched. Do you remember them, C'est la Vie?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The denim days.
People say I look like me da.
There you go.
I'll never forget. I was doing the dance moves to Bewitched with our Kirsty and our Adele, and my dad ran his lunch break, and he'd come in and we were doing dance moves. He went, "What are you doing?" I went, "Just doing dance moves to Bewitched." He's like, "Go and play football with the rest of your brothers." And I was like,
"No, some great moves there, which is still better to you, those dance moves, except we can't go anywhere at the moment." But I have to say, you know, it's been a really tough year for so many people. You've had a good year.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that, definitely. Yeah, it's had its ups and downs. It's been massive ups. And I think the start of lockdown, like, and I listened to loads of podcasts, we'll talk about that, but so many people like, yeah, I needed this. I was really busy. I'd just come off tour with a podcast that I do. So like the first 2 or 3 weeks, I was loving it. I watched loads of TV, read a few books. And then after about 4 or 5 weeks, just work started drying up. And then we was on a rotation at Radio 1. So I was on every 3 weeks. And like, for me, I love to work and I need a focus. So I struggled then. And then in September, Radio 1 said to me, "Do you want to do full weekends?" So I now do Friday, Saturday, Sundays. I was like, yeah, buzzing. And then in October, we got a call from ITV saying, "Do you want to do I'm a Celebrity?"
Hold on, you only find out in October? Because I never know like how far. I've worked on that show before and they never tell you anything when you're working on it because it's so secretive. And I never know how far in advance people get told, how much planning. Obviously, last year was a little bit different because you couldn't fly to Australia. You went to exotic Wales. But yeah, was it quite a last minute thing?
It was for me, and I've talked about this before, and I don't know if I meant to, but anyway, we were talking to him in the summer, and then we had a couple of meetings with them and the guys from ITV, and then I got a call from the agent who's like, "It's not going to happen this year, maybe next year." I was like, "Yeah, fine, I can focus on the show. I've only just started this new show on Radio 1, totally fine." And then I got a call a couple of weeks later saying, "Okay, for whatever reason, they want you to do it now." And I just said to me, and my agent rung me at 6 a.m, and I said, "Ring me back in an hour, I'm going to go for a run." So I went for a run, he rung me back and I said, "I'm going to say yeah, I'm going to do it." And then put the phone down now before I change my mind. And here we are.
Because it did seem, I think in the first episode, I was like, "Oh no, I don't think you know what you've let yourself in for."
Yeah, definitely. Like,
maybe it's Laura, probably because you didn't have much time to think about it.
That's the thing. I didn't have much time to think about it. And honestly, like, I didn't have a game plan, but I did think, and there's always someone, you know, as well, because you've worked on the show. There's always someone who avoids the trials. And I thought I could maybe do an eating trial. And I'm not that bad with bugs. I mean, I don't like them on me by any means, but I could cope with them.
And then, they're not snakes or rats.
They're not snakes or rats or heights. And then even in my naivety, with me being sick on the edge of that cliff, I thought,
bless you.
Oh, well, people might feel sorry for me, but yeah.
No, they're like, "Let's get him to do more things.
Let's make him suffer."
I love the public, love them.
Don't you just? And when I was at the top of that cliff, because I think a few people have said it, and a lot of people that I work with and close friends and family, a few people thought, "Is he playing on this?" And Vernon said to me recently, he said, "I thought you were just playing up to cameras at the top of that cliff." And then when you were sick, I was like, "Oh, no, shit, this guy is scared of everything." So, yeah. Oh, what an experience.
Well, you came up against some, I mean, big struggles and situations that the average person wouldn't normally have to go up against in their daily life. I want to talk about your podcast because this is a brilliant, hilarious podcast a lot of people will be familiar with. You're talking about daily struggles of modern life. So not quite as extreme as climbing down mountains and having to be, you know, buried alive in a box with snakes. I want to talk about Help, I Sexted My Boss, because it's hugely successful. I think it's on its 7th series, started in 2018. You do it with William, your pal. Tell me a little bit about how this started, because I think the last year, and you mentioned that there, you know, people are falling in love with podcasts and people want stories, but you've been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah, so William and I are very good friends, and we shouldn't be. We really shouldn't be.
We're very different.
He's an etiquette expert.
First of all, I'm sorry. Like, can we just talk about that as a job title? Like, I love that. Like, I love when teachers, what do you want to do when you're older? I want to be an etiquette expert.
Well, this is the thing. He's an etiquette expert. He's a 31-year-old man in a 60-year-old lady's body, definitely. We first met when I was working at Five Live. I was on work experience for Tony Livesey's show.
Great station. We love
yes.
Tony.
Yeah. And I was on work experience and he was a guest. And even then at 21, he was claiming to be the UK's leading etiquette expert.
What's he like anyway, as a three-year-old? That's what I want to know.
Well, this is the thing. At the time, I thought he was like 30-odd then, like in his early 30s, and that he was like married to a librarian or something like this. Anyway, I made him a cup of tea in a chip mug, which he made a comment on. We were polite to each other, and I thought I'll never see him again. A couple of weeks later, my housemates that I lived with was having a 2012 Olympic party. That's how old I am. And he was a guest. He went to uni with my housemate. I was like, oh, you again. We got chatting. And all he did all night was just take the mick out of me. And I thought he's the funniest guy I've ever known. So we've been friends for years. He's an etiquette coach. He teaches etiquette all around the world to royal families. You can often see him on, you know, all the daytime TV shows. He does that as well. And then a mate of ours said, you should do a podcast.
Were you into podcasts yourself then? Were you listening to podcasts? Were you familiar with, because I remember like 2 or 3 years ago, a few of my friends didn't even know what a podcast was or how to listen to it.
I wasn't, if I'm honest. Yeah. I wasn't. I was like, I just left local radio to try and crack it at Radio One. So I was out of work and thought, oh, it could be fun. And podcasts, I don't know if you remember, they had a big surge in like 2008, 2009. And then they kind of went off a cliff a bit. And then everybody started talking about my dad wrote a porno. And then everybody was like all of a sudden listening to this and another podcast. But no, we'd not heard it at the time. So we did it in 2014 thinking we'd do a series or two. And we've done 7 series. 2 sold out tours are about to go on a third, but hoping it can go ahead. And honestly, it's after Radio One, it's the thing they're gonna pick me up on that. After Radio One, it's like the thing I'm most proud of outside. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is outside of Radio One, it's the thing I'm most proud of.
The bosses of Radio One are listening, they're going to know you love your job very much and you're very happy to be continuing doing it.
And I just love it. And we're chalk and cheese and we're completely different characters. And oh my God, like even the bonus episode that's gone out today, we laugh from start to finish. We get silly. People write in with the most like out there dilemmas and problems and we act as agony aunts. And we get drunk whilst we do it. We drink a cocktail that I'd never heard of until 2014. He went, darling, I'm going to introduce a cocktail to you. That's William. And it's called Gin and Debonair, and it was the Queen Mother's favourite drink. Uh-huh. So it's just like quadruple shots, a double shot of gin and one part gin.
I love that. That was her favourite one. Get the extra alcohol in there, the Queen Mother knew.
Honestly, Laura, it gets you hammered. And I just love doing the podcast. And we, like I said, we've taken it on tour. And we started out as just our friends listening to it because we both lived in Manchester then. And since then, it's kind of got a bigger audience and it keeps growing every year. I'm just so proud of it.
Let's talk about those dilemmas. Obviously it's help, I sexted my boss, which is a real life problem for lots of people, or sexting the wrong person. There's all sorts there. What has been, this is such a hard question to answer because there's probably been so many, like what has been the most bizarre? Because you've got 7 series out of it so far. Like again, we're talking about the British public. They are giving you lots of food for thought.
Okay. At the top 3, there was 2 that was on a recent episode. They both came in at the same time. The weirdest dilemma we had was a guy who caught his housemate penetrating a melon.
Yeah, it's pretty much like the apple pie thing, isn't it? It's like,
melon. I mean, and imagine if you've had a few drinks, you're with that mate who all just looking at them, they make you laugh. So you're with that mate who you get the giggles with anyway. So you're trying to help this guy out.
Oh, like what do you say? Like what?
I remember, Laura, just being totally lost for words on that one. I was like, I don't know what I can say here. I don't know what advice I can give. I usually let William pick up there.
Well, first of all, it's not very good etiquette.
No, it's not.
Is it? No, that one melon should be used for other things.
Yeah, but
breakfast, brunch.
Yeah. And just, I'll just say, is if you listen, give it a listen because, he's camp as Christmas and we're totally different, but we're best friends.
Our final question has come in on email to help@sextedmyboss.com and it is from Richard Pipkins. Dear William, Jordan and producer Ben.
What a great name, Richard Pipkins.
I hope you can help me with my problem. The other day I was walking up the stairs to my bedroom and past my housemate's room, no apostrophe. His door was open, so I looked inside and saw him. There's no easy way to describe this. He was penetrating a melon.
What the... Shut the...
I have two issues with this.
Are you winding me up?
No, I'm reading what is...
Right, let's get this straight. His housemate was shagging a melon with the door open.
Yeah. I have two issues with this. I have been trying to stay healthy during lockdown and have been enjoying the melons in the kitchen on a bi-weekly basis.
Oh, God.
Have I eaten contaminated fruit?
What's going on?
He didn't see me notice him performing the act, so I'm now unsure how to approach this with him in a way that won't make living together impossible. Any help would be greatly appreciated. I understand lockdown has been boring for everyone, and we all have our urges, but soiled fruit is not acceptable. Kind regards, Richard Pipkins. Wow.
And the other two weird dilemmas we've had is a guy recently called in to say that he's been wearing his wife's underwear and he wants to start venturing on the outside. And we were like, okay. I don't know if that's the weirdest. It's 2021.
Do you feel a responsibility, though? Do you feel like it's quite a lot of responsibility to give advice, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Give wrong advice or offend someone.
That's the thing. You're worried about saying the wrong thing. And, you know, this guy who wears his other half's underwear, it's like, it's 2021. What goes on behind closed doors? You crack on. And then we had the weird one this week was a guy who fancied his twin brother's boyfriend. And that was... Yeah, and it's just like... But then we have funny ones like, my cat ate my condom and what do I do kind of thing. It's just, honestly, I have so much fun doing it. And I do it with my two pals, William and Ben, who produces it. And yeah, it's just fun.
I don't think you're going to be ending it anytime soon. I feel like you've got a lot of content to come from many more series.
Yeah, well, the thing is, last year we thought we'd do another series and we started 2 weeks before lockdown and then we just carried on doing it in lockdown. So I think we went from March till September, which is the longest run we've ever done. But our listeners, we call them our G&D divas because they drink G&D. They just wanted more. So we're like, right, let's crack on, let's do it.
And there's something lovely in a world where the news is so negative and there's so much pressure and anxiety. Something like this, it is like, you know, when I've listened to it, you have a giggle and they're real life problems. You're living with a man who is penetrating a melon. It is a real life problem, but it's a lovely, warm show to listen to needed.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, I love doing it and it's sometimes escapism. We get a bit squiffy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I hate listening back to it because I'm still not used to listening back to myself. And I just get really loud and do this horrific cackle when I've had a drink. I'm like, is that what I'm like in pub? Am I that bad?
I didn't know I had an Irish accent. I didn't know I sounded like this. When you do stuff in Ireland amongst your friends, it's when you have other accents. You're like, do I actually sound like that? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's frightening. The show is called Help, I Sexted My Boss. There's 7 series there. Hilarious stuff. How do people kind of send in their stuff? How many, like from the first series to now, like how many letters, emails, texts are you getting in with people's dilemmas?
When we first started, I think we had to put tweets out saying, I'm starting this new podcast. Have you got any dilemmas? That kind of thing. But now we've just, apparently we've got like a big stack we get. So we encourage people to email us, to tweet us, to DM us or to send letters in. And a lot of our Gene Divas, a lot of the listeners write letters in because William promises a handwritten reply on his own letterhead.
Oh, I love a letter. Old school.
Yeah. And he's got his own letterheaded paper.
Of course he does.
Of course he does.
Wouldn't expect anything else.
Of course he does. So we get a lot of letters that way, but people correspond in all different ways, sliding into DMs.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're trying to get through them.
So much fun. You mentioned there, you know, you get some DMs and things. You know, the last year, like a lot of people know you from Radio One or know you from this podcast. A lot more people know you in the last few months from I'm a Celebrity. How have you coped with the extra DMs happening at the moment, the extra attention? There's probably not as much. You probably haven't been out and about the way you would be. You know, normally when you come into the final of a big show like this, there's lots of events and it's, you know, red carpet season. That's not happening at the moment, but you are getting attention.
Yeah, I mentioned recently that I'm not quite used to, I've had a lot of weird DMs and I just mentioned it off in passing and I'm not quite used to that. But yeah, it's, do you know what? It's been a bit weird. I'm not like getting recognised and what have you, because I'm not really used to that, but it's always nice to speak to people. But yeah, like you say award seasons, I can't imagine me ever going to stuff like that. Do you know what? I'll probably, this time next year, I'll be opening of an envelope, but
I'll be like, just... you've changed. I'll see you at something. Like, you've changed. Like, I'm not even talking to you there in your tuxedo.
Look at him going into there. But so I don't feel like I'm missing out on much. And
yeah,
work's been steady. Apparently, like you said, when you come out, you are a lot busier, but it's been steady and it's just... And being on the radio at the weekends keep me like something to look it's forward insane. To and keeping me focused. Yeah, keeping me sane. So, yeah, but I went to Tesco just before Christmas. I've said this a few times now. This was weird. And I didn't put a cap on, didn't think anything of it. I had my mask on. Got bloody mobbed. I was like, what's going on here? This is my... Obviously, and then you've got to tell people to stand back, keep the distance. So that was like about 4 weeks after I got out of the show, maybe earlier actually. And that was so weird. I seen Tesco doing my big shop and people going...
And then you're like, you're also like, I need to finish the big shop. I'm here for a reason. I can't win.
But like I said, it's always nice to speak to people. I'd never be like rude to anyone. No, of course you can't have a picture.
Yeah, of course. But it is hard doing a selfie in a pandemic because you like you feel bad, but you're like, you can't get too close.
Yeah. Oh, who even am I talking about getting selfies in Tesco's? What's happened to me?
Selfies in Tesco's. Look at you. You're obviously a podcast lover besides doing a podcast. You know, you read a lot, you listen to a lot, you love stories, and you give me a great list. And I've picked out a few here, which I'd love to talk to you about. Some we've never talked about. This is our fourth series, some we've never talked about before. So thank you. And we're going to go straight in. We're going to talk about football, but some things you don't think necessarily go together, football, feminism, and everything in between. You are obviously a massive football fan. We all know who you support. Yeah. It's your happy place, Burnley. They've actually been doing, I live with a Liverpool fan. It hasn't been going well at the moment.
Yeah, we beat them a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? At Hartley, and yeah, they got beat by Brighton
as well. It was quite painful actually to be sitting beside a Liverpool fan.
Does he sulk like me? If we get beat, I could be in a it could ruin a weekend for me.
Like my week has been ruined. It's like, why is my week ruined? Because you decided to support Liverpool. I was like, weren't they just doing good a while ago? And he's like, don't bring it up.
It's ridiculous.
Did you grow up like in a Burnley, like, but do you always grow up in this football kind of house?
Yeah, like it was drummed into us. And my dad was in the army, so we lived all over. When I used to go on the game with my dad, my mum and dad moved to Spain now, but we used to go on every Saturday or every other Saturday. And if Burnley won, then they'd always go out for a meal. But my mum would say if they got beat, she said, I'd rather just stay in. She said, I can't bear sitting looking at his miserable face all night. So she was like, if they got beat, they won't go out for a meal. That's how serious we take it. Yeah, football, feminism and everything in between. So I love this podcast. It's presented by Alistair Campbell and his daughter, Grace. Mm-hmm. And she's very funny. She's a comedian. She's got a book out recently. And you see a side to Alistair Campbell that not many people would see. I think people see him as a bit of a ranter, a bit of a government basher. And but on this podcast, you see a different side of him. And he's actually a very intelligent bloke. And he loves his football. He's a Burnley fan as well. But his daughter is a feminist. And they talk about that. And then they get guests and they ask them about feminism and how they interpret feminism. And it's a really good listen. And they had Sean Dyche on, the Burnley manager, the first ever one they did. Yeah. And they also had Joey Barton on. And listen, you've got to listen to this episode with Joey Barton, because Grace gives him a run for his money. He's got his points, and you could argue his points are valid, but Grace, like, really holds her own against him. And this is a guy, again, Joey Barton's, like, really well-read and quite intelligent.
From birth, women and men are treated differently. You know, even you said earlier, your daughter's, she's a girl, she doesn't like football as much. You know, we are sort of assigned roles from very early on in our lives.
Yeah.
So that just is a fact, you know, like women's football isn't taken as seriously as men's football. It's just a fact, you know. So that's kind of an imbalance of...
But again, I disagree with you. I don't think women's football is not taken as seriously by men as women's football is taken by women.
Yeah, for sure.
But women's football is taken very, very seriously by women. Young girls.
Yeah, 100%, I mean, which is amazing.
Peter Clark, who plays for us, his daughter's a really good footballer, and you can see her passion for it. She's enthusiastic about football.
But then I guess it comes back to the fact that football...
But she's more enthusiastic about women's football rather than probably...
For sure, and so am I. I'm really enthusiastic about women's football, way more than men's. But I guess that comes back to the fact that...
It's a different sport, though, really, in essence, isn't it? Women's football and men's football. There should be... Women's football should be... adjusted for women, you know, physiologically, biologically, physiologically, we have to accept that men and women are fundamentally different.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's saying that they're exactly the same sport. I don't think the game needs to be massively adjusted for women.
Well, I think
but
the pitch sizes and the goal sizes and the weight of ball.
Yeah, I think.
We've
spoken to a lot of women in football, and they just disagree with that. Like, I don't think you'll hear as many women saying that. I think that's an opinion of a lot of men in football, not many women in football.
I'm trying to talk about it. If we're going to make women's football better as a spectator sport, to stand on its own in the marketplace against men's football, if you keep playing on the same size pitch as men, with the same size football as men, by men's rules, you're always going to have an inferior product because men are bigger, stronger, faster than women. That's just biology. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do about that. If you tailor it, so you bring it, so everything's in proportion, I think women's football could legitimately make a lot of strides tactically, technically, way beyond its current limitations because of the physiological output.
But then I don't know, because I would still argue that like the Women's World Cup made those strides.
It's just really interesting, and I love at the end, they ask you, you've got to pick... you know, the typical question of who would you have at the dinner table?
Yeah, your favourite dinner guest.
So they give you six, not five, six, and three have got to be men and three have got to be women. And I just think that's a nice concept to it. Mm-hmm. And they're father and daughter, and they've got this really nice relationship. It's just a really good listen. There's a few standout episodes. They did one with Kay Burley as well.
Yeah.
And they talked about that. So, yeah.
I think they've had everyone from Josh Widdicombe, Kelly Holmes. They have Ed Miliband on as well. And like,
I think
I remember on that one, like he was naming that my dad's a Leeds United supporter, bless him. But he can't watch the match. He doesn't watch the matches because he says every time he watches the matches, they lose. He's so funny.
Oh, bless him.
So it'll be on and he'll be sitting somewhere else, like really anxious looking at his phone. Anyway, but I just thought it was really interesting because, you know, everyone knows Ed Miliband, but he was able to like name all the United managers from the 1970s onwards. He had all this knowledge. And it's just, I don't know, you see a different side to people.
Yeah, and that's what I love about podcasts as well, because like we all know being on the radio, it's fine and you can get someone on, but you've got a certain time and you know
you just sign bites and
you've got your 4 minutes here or you need to get a song on here and that's great, and usually on the radio they're plugging something, but on a podcast it's like this is what I love about it. It's a proper chat, it's a conversation, you're eavesdropping on a conversation, and guests really come out their own in podcasts, like they really let the guard down, I think.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Speaking of podcasts, the next one I want to talk about is, well, I guess as a radio presenter, you kind of look to the radio presenters that came before you and the legends, one being Chris Moyles. He is on a rival station to you, Radio X. But I want to talk about the Chris Moyles Show, which is on every morning and then is turned into a podcast. And I mean, everyone knows Chris Moyles. Tell me why you've chosen this.
And again, it's a random one. In a way, it's not a podcast as we know it. It's not really a conversation. It's just the clips of his show, Best Bits from the Week. And that's pretty much how podcasts started, especially on radio. They were just all your bits clipped together and then you'd put it on a podcast on what was like the radio iPlayer then for the BBC. Look, I grew up listening to this man and I know he can be controversial at times and he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I still think he's one of the best in the game and he's very unique in what he does. The fact that he doesn't play any music takes a lot of balls on the radio. You know, he does talk for 20, 30 minutes on a music station. And whenever I dip in and out of this and listen to it, it just never fails to make me laugh.
James was talking earlier about the nicknames he has for supermarkets because I guess he's from Cumbria and that's just what they do to entertain themselves eating jam.
Yeah. Plenty of people do it.
I'm with James. I call Tesco Tezzers.
Thank you.
Oh. And the co-op I call The Coop.
The Coop. That's nice.
Tezzies and Sainos.
Nathan in Boston, yep. I work for Sainsbury's and have never heard anyone call it Sainos.
Thank you, Nathan.
No.
Thank you, Nathan. He works there.
That's because you're not from the rough part of Cumbria where James is from.
No, I don't think there is a Sainsbury's there.
Too rough.
No.
Is it?
Sainos. There's a Sainos. But yeah, have you never heard?
Ali says it's Tezzies and Sainos.
Thank you, Ali.
Someone else says Morrison's is Murray Boggs.
No, it's not Murray Boggs.
Murray Boggs. You'll call it that now, won't you, James?
That's too far.
That's it.
Murray Boggs.
Yeah.
I like Mozzers.
Mozzers is.
Mozzers and Tezzers.
Andy Leeds says we used to call the co-op the Quop.
The Quop?
C-W-O-P.
Oh, okay.
Very creative in Leeds, we are.
Yeah.
Down here in Portsmouth, they call Asda. Asda's. What the hell is that about, says Vicky. Chris in Bradford, we call Morrison's Moggies.
See?
Sarah in Leicestershire says Morrison's as Moggos. Everyone in Middlesbrough calls Asda the Asda. It's so annoying. Says Andy. It's so annoying. Is James being from the rough part of Cumbria? Is that like saying the poor part of Windsor?
No. No. How rude.
Ian says, we call Marks and Spencer Marks Expensive. That doesn't really work, does it? Yeah. Marks and Sparks, isn't it?
Morrison's Moggies.
Moggies.
What do you call Morrison's?
Mozzers.
Mozzers.
Mozzers. So Mozzers, Tezzers.
Yeah, correct.
Sainos.
Correct. That's it.
The Co-op.
The Co-op.
And Asda.
Asda.
Right.
Yeah.
And Waitrose, you don't go in.
There's plenty of people. Look how many people call it Sainos. Always Sainos.
Four?
Yeah, no, more than that.
Five text messages come in.
Saint Bose, someone else.
What?
Saint Bose. Defo Sainos.
Am I the only one? Do you know what I call Sainsbury's?
Mm.
Sainsbury's.
Quite right, me too.
Do you know what I call the Co-op?
The Co-op.
Co-op.
Yeah.
Yawn.
Do you know what I call Asda? Asda. Do you know what I call Morrison's? Morrison's.
I know.
Square.
I can't be on my own.
James, are you saying that people who call it by their name are squares? Did you just say that?
Squares.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, everybody remembers the first Radio 1 breakfast show and he was mine. Mm. And if I'm honest, he was one of the reasons why I wanted to get into radio because I was obsessed with that show.
So yeah, but you listened to him growing up. Is that what kind of gave you the taste for radio?
Yeah, I used to listen to Rock FM, which was a local station near me, and I was obsessed with the local radio DJs and used to go to the like local events and they'd be there and I'd ring up. And then round about 2005, 2006, I started listening and he was the first show I'd listened to. And then he brought me into Radio 1 and then I thought, I want to do this. And then it brought me into the station. So I used to listen to Joe Wiley and Edith Bowman and Scott Mills and Greg James, and like Scott and Greg are still on now and like I'm friends with him and I'm like, oh my God, that's Scott Mills. But this podcast, I don't get a chance to listen to him much on Radio X because I always think if you're on Radio 1 or Radio 2, you should be listening to that.
Isn't that lovely, though? Isn't that lovely to come around full circle? Also, did you turn 30 last year? Was it last year?
Yes.
Chris celebrated his 30th anniversary of being on the radio last year.
Yeah.
So basically, like, since you were born, you're like the same as his radio career. You are his radio career.
He's been on since 1990. I think it's a great podcast, and it's just a good best bits of his show. And I still think he's the best in the game. I've not actually properly met him, you know.
Oh, he's lovely. He's really lovely. He's really good. I've met him on a few nights out, and I've been on his radio show. And, like, I remember the first time I met him, I was a bit intimidated by him because, you know, he's Chris Moyles. And he was the warmest, loveliest. I don't know if people want to hear that because sometimes they like to hear the bad stories, but I just love him.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember Alid, who was on the show.
Yeah.
Who started off as BB Alid. So he's now the boss of radio. He's running radio one now. So I'm like, oh my God, I used to listen to you. And now he rings me up and stuff. Boss.
He came out actually when I used to host the ITV2 show for I'm a Celebrity. He was one of our panelists once.
He said that to me recently.
He came out and because whoever used to come out used to be our friends because we had no friends. Because you're in the middle of nowhere when you're out in Australia, similar to Wales. And he came out. So see, Chris Moyles to that. And now he's like the head of BBC Radio.
Yeah. Definitely give it a listen. Just like if you've not heard him for years, he still sounds good. He still does in my book.
He's great. Now, speaking of another legend, Chris Evans, but this is a podcast, How to Wow. Tell me about this.
Oh my God. This is, honestly, this is so good. I don't know why he's not done a podcast sooner. And I think he only started it in September, October. And already he's released about, he's probably done about 30 or 40 episodes. And what I gather with Chris Evans is when he's into summer, he's into it. And he's like, pow, pow, pow. And he's like a toddler that runs around a room. And my housemate told me about this. And he said, you've got to listen to this. It's good. And as I was packing for the castle, I was...
that sentence is amazing. As I was packing for the castle. Like, you know what I mean? If you told your younger self, that would be something that you'd say in a podcast.
Oh, look, God. Who am I? So when I was getting ready to go away to Wales...
there you go.
I put it on and I still think now to the day that the first episode he did with Bryony Gordon is the best one. So she's a journalist.
Yeah.
And she talks about her alcoholism and it's just them chatting for about an hour and a half. And it's so good. I think he's one of the best interviewers going at the moment. And you know Chris Evans for like this big, energetic breakfast show that he did on Radio 2 and now he does it on Virgin. But he's a great interviewer. And his energy in this podcast is just great. And he gets people on and he lets them talk. And he asks the best questions. And I think he's a really good interviewer. And he did another really good episode. And basically, he's got Richard Osman on there. And Richard Osman's like, and I'm a TV and radio geek. And he's like, talking about how to pitch TV shows. And I'm listening to this. I'm writing notes down in my phone going, oh, that's how you do it. Because he basically said, there's no new idea. Because he worked for Endemol for years, didn't he? He was like, I've done this for years. Yeah. Trust me. And it's just, he gets the best out of him. And his energy is infectious, and I know people that have worked with him, and that's a big thing when he's on the radio, and I think he transports that into a podcast, is you've got to sound like you're having the best time in the world.
You've got to be enjoying it to still do it. One thing that we mentioned there, you know, when you're on a podcast, you see a different side to people, like who you're interviewing, they're a little bit more relaxed. Also, I think it's lovely to see someone like Chris Evans, who we know from the radio, high energy, you know, I grew up watching him on telly, and especially quick shows, to do a podcast where there's a little bit more space. I do feel like there's a little bit of he's still Chris Evans and we all know and love, but I don't know, I do feel like a podcast is still a different domain for him.
Definitely, and I think he's finding his feet with it, but I also think he's really excited by it and he's really into it and he's just releasing episodes every week. I think he's doing two a week at some points, but I just hope he doesn't get bored of it. I can't keep up with him. There's that many, but definitely like listen.
Waking up early, set your alarm at 6 a.m. just to listen to him.
Just to listen to him. But yeah, listen to the Bryony Gordon one. She talks so openly about her struggle with alcoholism and how she didn't realise she was an alcoholic and she's like how she used to embarrass herself on nights out and stuff. And you just listen to it and you're like, wow.
We talk about rock bottoms a lot in sobriety, and I remember when I went to treatment, I remember the person saying to me, the therapist saying to me, addiction is a lift going down, right? So you can choose to get off whenever you want, but if you get back on, you will go further down. And it was interesting because I decided to stop drinking after a night out almost 3 years ago now. And it wasn't any worse particularly than any of my other nights that I'd had. But it was, I think I was like hollowed out by self-loathing. I just couldn't do it anymore. So, you know, on a sort of get down to the nuts and bolts, I had that August 2017, I tried to get sober before. I'd run a marathon, my first marathon in April 2017. And I'd sort of done that to prove to myself that I could stop drinking. I was like, this is what's going to stop me from drinking so much. And it didn't. So I stopped drinking for the duration of running the marathon. But if anything, I sort of hit the booze harder. It was like I was having to balance out the scales. So you'd go off and do like a 10-mile run and then I'd have a pint for each mile afterwards. And I tried to get sober after that marathon because I'd seen this different way of living, but I'd fallen off the wagon and again, and it got really bad really quickly. So I went to a friend's 40th in the countryside, and that sort of ended in an assault basically, which I still find really difficult to sort of vocalize. And then, but a few days after that, I just went out on the bank holiday weekend, even though I was supposed to be going away with my husband and daughter. I just left them in the house. And the most important thing to me was to get pissed, was to get out of it. Like nothing else mattered. And I just went AWOL on the night. Nothing terrible happened to me, but I sort of came to in a sort of near stranger's house at flat and to messages from my husband saying, where are you? This is not tenable anymore. You know, you're worrying us too much. And I was 37. I had a 4-year-old daughter, and I sort of on paper had it all, you know, a house in Clapham and a best-selling book. And I was interviewing people like Prince Harry, but I was sort of dying inside, you know.
You kind of think of Chris Evans as the, I know back in the day, the party boy. I just remember like he was like the wild child. And I'm sure there's lots of comparisons that, you know, he can kind of get Bryony to speak about things that she's very open. Her books are brilliant, but it's just nice seeing her interviewed by someone like a Chris Evans.
Definitely. And I say, when I get messages on Twitter and stuff and people say, I want to get into radio, what should I do? I always say, buy his 2 books. Mm-hmm. Read his 2 autobiography. Like in this autobiography, he talks about, you know, all the fast cars and all the money he had, but like he puts a radio clock, like a running order in the book, like he sketches it in, and it's like nobody who's not into radio would be interested in this. Yeah. And it's a fascinating insight into his life when he was in the 90s. And
I know that you love reading and stuff. And I had to laugh when I was watching I'm a Celebrity because you mentioned the lads at the deck that you'd read their books. Because when I first got the I'm a Celeb job, and I did 5 series of it, I got their first book autobiography and read it before I went to Australia. And I only met them in Australia. And I remember them telling a story and like, we're having drinks. I think it was like Aunt's birthday. And I knew all the stories. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then you're like, oh, no, this is so embarrassing. Like, I've read your life story. So, like, I know this.
Look,
it's so embarrassing when that happens.
It is. And this is why they say don't meet your heroes. And, you know, if we're saying Chris Evans is the best in radio and Miles and so many others, but then you've got to think TV-wise, it's them guys, isn't it?
Big time. You know?
They're the top of the game. And I used to watch them on SMTV. Everyone goes on about Wonky Donkey, but yeah. Like Chums and...
Oh my God. See, the UK afterwards was a little bit cooler, but yeah, Chums, all of it.
Yeah. Oh. You got, and they used to do a sketch called Eminemadale that people forget about, where Eminem had just come on and wrecked the set. And they used to do The Vicar of Dribbley as well, where they used to spit water on each other and stuff.
Oh, great. I love it. I love reminiscing on all that. Right, back to podcasts. When did you, because I mentioned when you first started podcasting, you kind of said you weren't really into it. You just, you know, you kind of knew William and you said, let's do this thing and we've got this idea. When did you start listening to podcasts? When did you kind of, what was the first podcast you listened to yourself going, oh, I'm good, I'm into this?
So, like I said, I probably started listening to him around about that 2008, 10, 11 period, when it was pretty much just radio shows clipped up and put out onto this podcast. Eye players. And that's kind of what it was. And then I started listening around about 2016-17. I started listening to Desert Island Discs and The Media Show, which is a bit geeky, like proper Radio 4 ones. But again, they were just Radio 4 shows put on the iPlayer. So that was around about then. And then I'd say it's properly getting into them now is like 2018 when I started my own, and then you start listening to others. I'd say what the past couple of years, it's just boomed, hasn't it? Everybody's got one. I seen a tweet that really made me laugh. It's like, in London, you're only 5 meters away from a podcast recording.
I don't even think it's that far away, to be honest.
Every man and his dog's got one. Right? And you feel like when you tell someone you've got a podcast, you feel
you get the eye
rolling their eyes. Yes, but they're not actually rolling their eyes. They're like, yes, I've got a podcast. Of course you have, hon. You've lived in London for 2 years. What else are you going to do?
Well, when I started doing this podcast a few years ago, I remember thinking, oh, God, what happens if, like, we run out of podcasts? I'm like, we're never going to run out of recommendations because there's so many new ones. Are you afraid that the podcast space will become too saturated?
I think it could do potentially, but the Sony podcasts that have come out over the past couple of years, and just think how many great and how many are popular, and you still, even now, you'll get recommended one or you'll hear about one, or there'll be a buzz around a podcast that only started 6 months ago.
Well, it's almost like a new platform. As we're talking, Ida Bowman is on this series, and, you know, obviously she's radio legend, but she said she found there wasn't a space on radio for what she wanted to do, which was soundtracking and talking about music and films. And she knew she could get big artists on and big directors and really big names to talk about it, but there just wasn't a space. So she created her own space. So, you know, as a broadcaster, this is not you waiting to get a job or to get that show like you had to do in Radio 1. This is you just making what you want to make. And there's something really lovely and freeing in that.
Yeah. And there's so many niches that are now becoming mainstream. Mm. Like that, what Edie said. And I always think if Help I Sex My Boss wrote a podcast, I could imagine it being a weekly feature on the radio. But what would that be? Like 3 or 4 minutes a week? Okay. Whereas this is half an hour plus bonus. So yeah.
Where do you listen to podcasts normally? Because, you know, they can go from everything from being half an hour to a 2 hour podcast. Like, would you listen to them, you know, traveling, sitting in the bath, at home, multitasking? What's your routine?
So weird. I can't listen to them on a run. I remember Clara was on your podcast and I heard her saying she listens to them on a run.
Yeah.
And then, but I love podcasting in the gym. So I listen to podcasting in the gym. Okay. I've got to have my tunes on for a run. Yeah. And then I just listen anytime. So when I'm doing my big clean, when I'm getting me in a mum mode on, and doing me clean around the house and shouting at my housemate, get out with your shoes on, that kind of thing. I've always got a podcast on then in the background. And I've got like a Bluetooth speaker in my room and one in the kitchen, so I just bang it on when I'm cooking. But sometimes I feel guilty because I'm like, right, I should be listening to more radio, or should be listening to like some new tunes that people have put forward to me, or a new album. Yeah. But
do you listen by yourself, or would you listen with someone? Like, would you have it on that your housemate's listening to, or is it a very personal experience?
Very personal, yeah. I've never thought about that. I've never listened to, with anybody else, I don't think.
I normally listen by myself. Occasionally, if I'm driving somewhere and like Ian or someone else is in the car, but then trying to decide on which one we both want to listen to is another dilemma.
Oh, yeah. It's like Netflix, isn't it?
Personal thing. And I feel, I don't know if a lot of the podcasts you've mentioned, it is like a conversation that you're eavesdropping on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like radio. You feel like you're the friends and you're part of the group. And sometimes it's like you're at a party and two mates having a deeper meaningful, and you're just sitting on the settee next to them, drinking a drink.
They don't realize you're there.
Yeah, and listening in to their conversation. You're like, oh, fair one. And every now and then you just chip in with a, or I get that. And you just carry on. And that's what I love about them. I've got my mum and dad into them as well.
How did you get, because it took me so long to tell, my mum was like, how do I listen to your podcast? I'm like, just go into the podcast app, because I think people think it's more complicated than it is.
Yeah.
It's quite easy. It's there. If you're listening to it right now, you found it. Congratulations. But yeah, people are a bit intimidated by podcasts.
Yeah, I know. And they're so easy. And once you unlock this little world, like my dad loves his now. He listens to all TED Talks and everything.
Does he? Oh, I love
that. Yeah. And it's like unlocked it. My mum's, I cringe at the thought of my mum and dad listening to Help I Sex My Boss. They came to one of the shows actually. And that was, we start off on the tour of a game of I Have Never. And so if you stay standing, if you've done one of these things, and that was mortifying. So yeah, the thought of them listening to mine, I'm like, oh God, my mum's going to hear this.
Oh God. Is there a podcast you'd love to go on as a guest?
I'd love to go on Table Manners.
Yeah. Well, that's because you get fed. It's because you can have like Lenny cooking you up a meal and Jesse were there. Like you have, that's what I want to get fed.
I'd just love to meet Lenny. I know Jesse's like ace, but I'd love to meet Lenny, and I'd love to do it properly when you can go around the house and she's like, how are you, darling? Do you want a drink, darling? And she's just so nice and such a great mum, and I'd love to go on that, I suppose. There's probably a few. What about yourself? Is there any that you'd love to go on?
Oh, good. Look at you. You're such a broadcaster. Turning the question back on me. I see it.
Oh, sorry. I do that all the time.
I think I have to do like something like a Desert Island Discs or something, like something old school. Do you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd. I've done a few times. I've been asked for like, you know, your top five songs or the songs of your life for different things. And I think every time I get asked that question, I give different songs because I'm so changeable. So I'd love to do that. I think that would be my favorite. Or Oprah Winfrey's one, just so I could meet Oprah.
Of course, yeah. There's so many. Everybody loves Table Manners. I bet you've had that a few times on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, the food thing. Any ones with like, you know, that I'll get fed or get something. That's why I feel like I was like, oh, my podcast, what am I giving people? I'm taking from them their recommendations while other podcasts are giving people full meals. This is what you need to do to get the guests. To give them food.
But again, what a great idea of having someone round your house for tea and turning it into a podcast. And it's a conversation, isn't it? And they did one with Michael McIntyre, and it is the funniest thing. So he said on that podcast, he went to Italy, right? Yeah. Laura, you've got to try this. It's blown my mind. So he said on that podcast, he went to Italy, and the waitress said, would you like some dessert? And he said, yeah, I'll have some ice cream. And she said, he chose pistachio ice cream. And then she came out and poured some olive oil on his pistachio ice cream, and he's like, what are you doing? Are you drunk? And he obviously, he's hilarious, so it was a lot funnier than that. And he said he tried this pistachio ice cream with olive oil, and he was like, oh my God. He was saying to him, you've got to try this, it's the best thing ever. And I was listening to it at the time and thought, don't be so dramatic. Anyway, listened to it in the gym, went and did a shop, and I thought, I'll get this pistachio ice cream. Tried it that night. Oh my shit. It is like a taste sensation.
Hold on, honestly. Really?
Oh my, honestly. And I heard it in that podcast.
I love that you actually did it. I love that you know, you were committed.
Just get pistachio ice cream. It kind of works with vanilla and others, but it's got to be pistachio ice cream and olive oil, a good olive oil. Oh my God. Honestly.
In my head, I'm imagining you in Tesco doing your shop where all these people are like, oh my God, it's Jordan from the jungle. It's Jordan from the jungle. And they look in your basket and there you are with your pistachio ice cream and your olive oil.
he's changed. What happened to Angel Delight, eh? Zola show.
Yeah, you got some weird things in your basket. We actually had Jessie Ware on last series talking about her favorite recommendations. And it's so funny because she says like Lenny is like the superstar now. She's like, what have I created?
I know she's got cookbooks out and everything, but
yeah,
Lenny's just great on it. She just don't give a damn, does she? So she says what she thinks.
You work with like one of your really good mates, William. Would you ever work with any of your family members, any of your brothers? Would you do a podcast with?
Oh, there's an idea.
I don't know about working that close with family, to be fair. I love my family, but I don't know if I want to work with them.
That's a great idea. I wonder if I could get Wendy and Graham and mum and dad on.
Get the whole family on. What would you do it about?
God, I don't know. What would I do it about?
I'm planting a seed now, Jordan, so.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a commission on this.
There you go. I'll have to get it copyrighted.
Jordan North, thank you so much for joining me on Castaway and sharing your recommendations. And actually, you've injected some great new ones there as well to excite our listeners. So thank you and best of luck with everything. And in my head, I'm like, I might go and get pistachio ice cream now. I'm going to give this a go.
Honestly, you've got to try it.
Wait, how much oil? How much like oil are you putting on top of it? It's a drizzle.
Just a good drizzle. Tablespoon, a good portion of it. You've got to, and you can thank me later. Seriously,
not good for my arteries, but sure, we'll give it a go. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for having me.
And that's it.
another episode down as we delve deep into my guest's audio world. I hope you get cast away by today's top podcast picks. Yeah, I just said that, sorry. All of the podcasts we've mentioned today are included in the episode show notes. Now, if you love this conversation as much as I did, please share your thoughts by leaving a review. And if you'd like to receive weekly installments of Cast Away delivered straight to your phone, hit the subscribe button. Until next time, that's it from me. Take care.